Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome back to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next few moments, please stay with me. It's going to be a time of motivation, inspiration, some education. And as you know, we don't use manipulation. We don't try to play games. We are not here to con anyone. We're simply here to give you accurate information. Information that will verify and identify God's plan for your life if you can listen, if you can pay attention. And if I can do that, then I hope that you can orient and adjust to that plan. My job as the host of this radio show is to get it accurate, to give you the accurate information, not some human speculation, but accurate information from the canon of Scripture, the Bible, so that you can know that God the Holy Spirit is using that information to lead and guide you in the way that God would have you to go. So thank you for listening to The Flatline. And I pray that as this new year approaches, you will stick with us and continue to listen. We always have to make choices about where we're going to broadcast. And if you're enjoying this show in your area, I would love to hear from you. Don't send money. We're not asking for money. But if you would like for the show to continue broadcasting in your area, just drop us a note and let us know what it means to you. You can always reach us at Post Office Box 100. That's not complicated. Post Office Box 100. And I live in the big city of Cropwell, Alabama. Cropwell, C-R-O-P-W-E-L-L. Our zip code down here in Cropwell, Alabama is 35054. 35054. And if you would like, you can contact us by going to the internet and send us an email. Just write to Rick@RickHughesMinistries.org. That's all, real simple. Rick@RickHughesMinistries.org. Love to hear from you, and I would love to hear what God has been doing in your life by means of listening to this radio show. Today, as we press on, I want to talk to you about a couple of things that I think are very important. Remember what this show is predicated upon: building a flat line in your soul. Building a main line of resistance in your soul. The concept is that there are 10 unique problem-solving devices. As you learn and apply those 10 unique problem-solving devices, you establish a forward line of troops. Military analogy, that's what it is, F-L-O-T. A military analogy in the Christian life. You're establishing a main line of resistance in your soul by learning and using these 10 problem-solving devices. And that main line of resistance will stop the outside source of adversity before it ever becomes the inside source of stress. We've always said that adversity is inevitable and stress is optional. Because adversity is what all sorts of circumstances do to us, but stress is what we do to ourselves. And so by learning and using these unique problem-solving devices, we can live a life free of worry. We can live a life free of fear. We can live a life free of bitterness and hatred and implacability. And that life is simply called the Christian life. It is the most wonderful life the world has ever seen, and it is a supernatural life. Make no mistake about it. In order to live the Christian life, there are supernatural powers that you must utilize. The first is the filling of the Holy Spirit. God has given you His Holy Spirit, and you have been mandated in Ephesians to be filled with that Holy Spirit. And we understand from problem-solving device number one, rebound, that anytime we name our known sins to God, the quenching of the Holy Spirit and the grieving of the Holy Spirit is removed, and we are thus filled with the Holy Spirit. Our second supernatural power is the Word of God, or the Scriptures. Remember, the Bible says the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. And so by taking the Bible, the inspired Word of God, the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit is able to reformulate the way we think, renovate our thinking, to change our thought pattern, so that, as the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, we begin to think like he thought. And this is exactly what the disciples had to go through. They had to go through a renovation of their thinking as they traveled with Jesus, as they went with him in his time on earth and his earthly ministry, from the day he called them to the day he left them. He taught them to think a different way. He taught them to live a different way. And they in turn taught us by means of writing the Holy Scriptures so that we can learn and apply the same things that they did. But you know, something happens around this time of year. It's always very interesting to observe it. It's called the holiday Christian or the Christmas Christian, kind of like the Easter Christian and the Mother's Day Christian. It's just that sometimes people that are indeed Christians come out on these specific holidays. They come to church and they make an appearance. A friend of mine who's a well-qualified pastor, he often called them to nod to God crowd. Nod to God crowd. That's right. They would say, "Hello, God. It's wonderful to see you today, God. Goodbye, God. I'll see you next year." Well, that doesn't work. That is not the way the Christian life is designed to work. And yet millions of people that are indeed believers in the Lord Jesus Christ function that way. They function in the nod to God crowd. They get so distracted. They get so wrapped up in everything that's going on in their life that they do not have time for spiritual growth. How about you? Is that like that with you? If you had to set aside an hour a day to grow spiritually, do you have that time? Would you even make time to do that? Because that's one of the things we always talk about on this radio show. Until you sit under the ministry of a qualified pastor and listen to the teaching of the Word of God, you're not going to grow spiritually. Now, you can take your Bible. You can go out into the woods and sit under an oak tree and read your Bible. And yes, you're going to learn some things. I'm not saying that won't happen. But what I'm saying is that God gave men the gift of pastor-teacher. If he didn't intend for it to be used, why did he give it? You have a pastor. He is your shepherd. And it's his job to study the Word of God and teach it to you. You don't have the Greek language. You don't have the Hebrew language. You don't have the background of the text. And it's very easy to take a text out of context and to make it say something that it really doesn't say. And therefore, you must find that person. And I tell you, I have a lot of people write to me and say, "Would you help me find a church in my community?" And as I look, sometimes it's hard to find one. And sometimes I will refer people to my pastor, where you can get his sermons or his messages on DVD or MP3 at no charge. He doesn't sell anything. And you can listen with a cup of coffee and a notebook and a Bible in your home, there at your dinner table or your desk. And you can learn the Word of God until God shows you where you belong. That's critical. That has to happen. But the nod to God crowd is not interested in that. They're too wrapped up in the details of life. They got too many irons in the fire, too many things going on. And this is exactly what Satan does. Once he sees that a person is beginning to have some sort of hunger, some sort of desire to find some answers as to why certain things are happening in their life. And if they turn to the Scriptures and they attempt to listen to the teaching of the Word of God, he will make them the busiest creatures on this earth. He will give them more things to do. He will add more distractions. Oh, you'll think that your schedule just increased tenfold. It's amazing, because he does not want you to break free from his control. He does not want you to be free by learning the Word of God, learning to think like Christ thought, learning these 10 unique problem-solving devices. They must be learned. You're not going to get them automatically through osmosis. You have to learn them. And the only way to learn them is to listen to the teaching of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's clear in the Bible. So as you listen today, you are learning something. I want to take you to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, and mention something to you that's found here. In the first few chapters of the book of Revelation, according to the New Scofield Translation, I'm using their footnotes here, I'm reading it to you, reading what they say here. It says, this message to the seven churches has a fourfold reference. It has an admonishing reference. It has a reference to the local church itself. It has a personal reference and a prophetic reference. And so these churches are mentioned here. And the last church to be mentioned is Laodicea. And this is the illustration of the final state of apostasy in which the visible church will experience. And so I want to turn over and read to you this warning from God the Holy Spirit through the Apostle John to the church at Laodicea. Remember, it's personal and it's prophetic. And here it is. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write this. These things saith Christ, or the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Remember that Jesus Christ is the Creator. Colossians is clear about that. For by him and through him were all things created. And this is what Christ says. I know thy works. Revelation 3:15. That you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I am increased with goods, I have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, so that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and to anoint thine eyes with salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, which means to change your mind. Now let's go back just a minute. These are words from the Lord Jesus Christ to the church at Laodicea. And let's take them in a personal stance. What if he were writing these words to me, or writing these words to you? What if he said to me, Rick, you know, I wish you were hot, or I wish you were cold, but you're neither one. You're just lukewarm. You know, that's kind of a stunning thing to say. Lukewarm, have you ever picked up a cup of coffee that's lukewarm? It's not hot. It's not iced coffee. It's not hot coffee. It's just lukewarm. I don't like lukewarm coffee. I don't like lukewarm hot tea. I don't like lukewarm food. But in this case, and this is what's interesting, hot or cold means that you are saved and growing, or you are unsaved. Saved and growing, or unsaved. Well, listen, if you're growing, you're hot. And if you're unsaved, you're cold. Or you can be a cold believer out of fellowship with God and not producing any heat. So the Lord says, since you are lukewarm, I will, and you're not cold and you're not hot. And I think in this case, he's referring to believers. I will vomit you out of my mouth. That is the sin unto death. That is the sin unto death. You know, there are warning disciplines in the Bible. There is intense discipline in the Bible. And there's dying discipline in the Bible. Discipline 1, 2, and 3. Discipline 1, 2, and 3 is seen in Hebrews 12. Those whom I love, I discipline. Sometimes I scourge with a whip. And then the Bible says, if we've had earthly fathers that disciplined us and we respected them, shall we not much more respect God and live? The Bible says in 1 John 5, there is a sin unto death. You'll find in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul putting someone under the sin unto death. This is when God takes a believer home. This is when that believer should have lived to be 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. But because he's cold, because he's not growing, because he's disinterested, because he could care less about the plan of God, even though he's saved, even though he is a child of God, he produces no heat. In other words, he's useless in the plan, and thus God takes him home. This doesn't mean they're going to hell. It doesn't mean they're going to lose their salvation. It means God takes them home. God takes them home too early sometimes. Now let's look at it into my life and your life. If I get out of fellowship with God, if I allow sin to get into my life and I do not rebound, then I'm going to come under warning discipline. If I don't respond to the warning discipline, I'm going to come under intense discipline. And if I don't respond to that, I can come under dying discipline. In other words, I can be removed and taken to heaven. What about you? Where are you in this process? Are you cold? Are you indifferent to the Scriptures? Are you indifferent to the Word of God? Has God been warning you for quite a while, and you say, you know, nothing seems to be going right in my life. Every time I turn around, there's a problem. Would that perhaps be God trying to get your attention? Or do you say, every time I turn around, I have a new pain, a new illness, a new sickness. I just can't seem to get well. Would that be God putting intense discipline into your life? Why would he do that? To get your attention, to make you focus on him, to make you turn to him. That's the whole reason. That's the whole concept of discipline, to get your attention back to him so that you can recover and you can grow and you can truly represent Christ on this earth. Not as some lukewarm, milquetoast believer who's a member of the Nod to God crowd, the Christian Christmas Christian, not that person, not the person who audits the Christian life, doesn't really take it for credit. He just audits it. You remember in college you could do that. You could audit a course. If you audit a course, you just kind of wind up being a caricature Christian. You kind of look like him, but you're not really him. You're a comic image of him. You're a caricature. That's not what God has for you. Where do you stand in this? Are you cold or are you hot? Hot means are you growing? Are you learning those 10 problem-solving devices? Are you applying them into your life on a daily basis? Are you asking God to lead you to a well-qualified pastor so that you can grow consistently and learn God's word consistently? Do you have more interest in your spiritual life than any other thing? Here's the key. What is your primary interest in life? If your primary interest in life is your spiritual life, then everything else will fall into place. You say, well, the Bible doesn't say that. Well, yes, it does. In Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added to you. All your needs, everything you need, God will give it to you. But listen, there has to be priority. Number one, what is your priority today? See, when you got up this morning, did you think about how can I find time to study God's Word? Do you have a Bible? Do you have a tape recorder, a computer? Did you put in a tape or a DVD or an MP3 of some pastor teaching the Bible to you? Do you have a notebook with notes in it? Do you have a Bible where you've taken notes? See, what is the condition of your spiritual life? Are you cold? Do you just kind of go and don't get much out of it and just enjoy the fellowship of other people and enjoy the singing and the praise of worship and all of that, but you don't really grow? What is the priority in your Christian life? If the priority in your life is growing spiritually, then you're hot. You're on fire. You're getting somewhere. And you know, when you're hot, you affect other people. People want to get around you to be warmed up if you're hot. But if you're cold, people don't want to be around you. People will get away from you because they don't like to be frigid like you. And so the Lord says, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth, which means I'm going to take you home. I'm bringing you on to heaven. You're no longer useful on earth. And so he takes us home. This happens every day. I have seen it happen. And it's not a very nice thing, but I have seen it happen. I have seen people that should have lived long, wonderful, productive lives, Christians, who walked away from the plan of God, who walked away from their spiritual gift, maybe, who walked away from their commitment to Christ. Oh, they're still Christians. They lived miserable lives and they died miserable deaths because they turned away from God and became cold. Are you cold spiritually today? Is your heart cold spiritually? Do you have an increasing hunger and yearning to grow spiritually, to know God's Word? Maybe this is what's wrong. Maybe this is the problem. Maybe you've just never grown spiritually. It's like taking a cold shower. It's just not any fun. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said, you're confused. Listen to verse 17, the book of Revelation chapter 3. You say, I'm rich. Wrong answer there. And I have all of the goods that I need. I have need of nothing. In other words, if you're looking around at the details of life and you think to yourself that, well, you know, I got a nice home, I have a nice car, I have a nice family, I have a nice fat bank account, what do I need? If that's your focus, you're looking at the wrong thing, because unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. And there are a lot of people that have nice homes, nice cars, nice, and they're miserable. And that may be you. Miserable because you have no purpose in life. There is no plan in your life. There is a provision. God's made a provision for you, but you're going to have to look into the mirror of truth. See, an arrogant person looks into the mirror and he doesn't see himself as he really is. He sees himself as he thinks he is. And that's what's happening here. You say, I'm rich. I have all of the goods and I have need of nothing. That's the arrogance. And that can be the arrogance of the self-righteous, religious Christian who gives his tithe to his church, who shows up occasionally, tries to do his Sunday school lesson on Saturday night, occasionally, sings in the choir occasionally, but he's sort of the nod to God crowd. You know, when he needs something, then he's going to show up and try to barter with God to get it. And if he doesn't need anything, well, then he doesn't really have time for God. In other words, to him, God's that little genie in the eight ball. And if he rubs the eight ball hard enough, God will pop out and take care of all of his problems. That's not the way it works. That's not the Christian life. You were bought. You were paid for with a price. The precious blood of our Savior, the anointed Son of God, redeemed us from the slave market of sin. We have been bought and paid for, and we owe a debt. And that debt is to our Savior. And we have the freedom to choose. You can choose. You can choose to go down the My Way highway, or you can choose to glorify Him. It's up to you. But here the Lord Jesus Christ said, you don't even know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Well, that's a lot to talk about. Wretched, meaning people look at you and see what a miserable person that is. Miserable, you know you're miserable, and everybody else knows you're miserable. And you are poor, you're poor spiritually, you're blind spiritually, and you're naked spiritually. You have nothing to clothe yourself with. And then he says, I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire. Divine good production is available. Divine good production can be yours, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where the wood, hay, and stubble are the gold, silver, and precious stones, because we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will all be evaluated based on our production. And you will stand either clothed in the righteousness of Christ and having divine good production, or if you're an unbeliever, at the great white throne of judgment, you will stand naked, ashamed, with your name not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and looking at an eternity in the lake of fire. That's not God's plan. That was never God's plan. That is Satan's destiny, not yours. I hope you've been listening today. I hope you've been paying attention today, and I hope I haven't confused you as I've gone through this passage. Let me ask you this question again. Are you hot or are you cold, spiritually speaking? What does God want? He wants you to be hot. He wants you to be on fire. He wants you to be growing in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next week, this is the host of the Flatline, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for being with me.
Thank you for listening to the Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.